Now, I would request our first speaker, Mr. Rashmi Bhai Jhaveri, to present his address. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Rashmi Bhai Jhaveri. Before I start my talk, I am really very happy that this atmosphere of brotherhood, it has really moved me. And I will request Dr. Zakir Nayak to come forward and let's have a Gale Lagja sing. The chief guest of this morning, Mr. Y.P. Trivedi, President of Rushabh Corporation, Sri Dhanraj Salecha, the learned speaker, Dr. Zakir Nayak, the expert commentator and the coordinator, Dr. Mohammad Nayak, Vice President of IDC, Sri Chaman Bhai Vora, other dignitaries on and off the dais, my friends, brothers and sisters. First of all, I must acknowledge the dedication, the sincerity with which all the three organizations, particularly Islam Research Foundation, has taken pains in arranging this lecture. I don't mind and I don't hesitate in saying the entire credit goes to IRF. Friends, the topic today is non-veg food permitted or prohibited for a human being? Any argument or any statement for that matter is always to be considered from a relative point of view. There cannot be any absolute truth, there cannot be any absolute statement that it is 100% prohibited or 100% permitted. So friends, let's see. As very rightly put in by Mr. Trivedi, who started the ball rolling, that we will not speak only from religious point of view. Religious has to enter. You can't divert it from today's subject. But I would like to speak on this topic, that non-veg food is prohibited for human beings from various angles. For example, geographical reason, historical reason, moral, ethical and religious reason, economical, environmental and ecological reasons, natural reasons and psychological reasons, and above all, medical reasons. It's a fact now well established that our actions are controlled by our thoughts. What we think, we act. And our thoughts are controlled by our diet. As we eat, so we behave. And that's why the topic is very important, that we should choose our diet in such a way that our thinking is positive. The word positive will include everything. And believe me friends, not only all the religions, but the medical science has now proved that the food that we take, it definitely influences our thinking and so our behavior. Friends, there was a time when there was no alternative available. As Mr. Trivedi rightly put, There were places on this world, and there are even now places where there is no availability of vegetation. It is simply not possible because of the extreme circumstances. But now the world has progressed so much that there is a very advanced system of transportation which is available to us. And any type of commodity, including food, can be transported from one part of the globe to another without any problem. Now that when we have got alternatives, you have to think about this, which alternative is better from all the angles that which I have described earlier. And that's why, friends, I am now coming to my topic proper, that non-veg food is not permitted now at this point of time, not only for India but for other countries of the world also. First of all, I will say that all Indian philosophies have stated that we should not harm any living being, not only the living beings that we can see, but also those living beings which we cannot see, which are in air, fire, water, etc. But always there is a limit. It's very difficult for a human being to refrain from total ahimsa, total hinsa or violence because of his needs. So that is why Lord Mahavir stated that at least you limit the essential killings, but absolutely no killing for your own selfish motive or for your own needs of hunger, etc. And that is why under Jainism and most of the Indian philosophies, non-veg food is totally prohibited. Now this is a religious aspect. I will not go very deep into it. But the psychological aspect, the effect that non-veg food has on our thoughts and deeds, that is the most important part. The learned authors, I will not now quote the names of the books and authors because that will take time. But I have got all the authorities with me. It is said that veg diet reduces needless suffering in the world and also preserves our ecosystem. See, when I talk about the alternative, you look here, or you look at the wild animals who stay in jungle. Those who are carnivorous, they will restrict themselves to meat eating only. But those animals which are herbivorous, they will never go for meat eating. Only human being is such, because of some false notions I will say, because the human being has been both a carnivorous and herbivorous. As I said, if alternative is available, why should we go for unnecessary killing? The basic principle underlying this theory is non-violence, love, and compassion for animals, birds, fish, etc. Because flesh food falls in not essential category, while vegetarian food comes under essential category. Psychologically also, cruelty, instant impulses, urges, basic animal instincts, impatience are all the necessary consequences of flesh food. By eating animal flesh, man will ingest all the animal instincts, the four basic animal instincts of food, fear, possessiveness and reproduction. These are there in men, I don't say no, but they are the basic instincts. We have got a reasoning mind. We can rise above these basic instincts. We can control our impulses and urges and become, then only we can become super animals or super beings. Otherwise, human beings and animals, there is no difference at all. But man has additional quality called reasoning mind, which is blunted by the influence of flesh, food and man becomes more like animal. The scientific reason for this is that flesh is an integral part of animal body. It is full of tamasic value. There are three types of value: tamasic, rajasic and sattvic. Tamasic, in short, is the brutal sense or brutal instincts of animal. A man becomes more like an animal. He is callous, he is cruel, he is ignorant. If he is eating the food, that is the part of the bodies of the dead animal. The crime rate is higher. Aggression in the natural is the natural consequences of flesh food. It distorts the thinking and reasoning. It is not only a problem by itself, but it creates many other problems like increase in crime, cruelty, etc. The virtues like compassion, sharing, self-control are obliterated by the impact of flesh food. If we insist on treating animals more brutally, then our behavior will also become less human and more brutal. I will quote one shayari that what will happen if this animal instinct is so embedded in our heart, what will become of man? Aadmi ki shakl se ab dar raha hai aadmi. Aadmi ki shakl se ab dar raha hai aadmi. Aadmi ko loot kar ghar bhar raha hai aadmi. आदमी ही मारता है मर रहा है आदमी. आदमी ही मारता है मर रहा है आदमी. समझ कुछ आता नहीं क्या कर रहा है आदमी. Then this is because the man has become an animal. He does not then distinguish between whether he is an animal or a human being, because this is the influence of the food, the flesh food that he eats. Flesh food is the cause of PMS syndrome, that is preposterous mood swing and psychological distortion. Thus, it is now established that if flesh food is the root cause of moral and spiritual degeneration. We at Indian Vegetarian Congress, we are working for important tasks, since it will lead to a more humane world at peace with animal kingdom and with each other. We at IVC define a vegetarian as one who does not at any time or under any circumstances eat meat, fish, fowl, eggs or any other type of flesh food. Vegetarian does not come from vegetable. Now this is very important, friends, understand. The word vegetarian does not come from vegetable. The root is derived from the word vegetus, V-E-G-E-T-U-S, meaning whole, sound, fresh, lively. Nothing is more powerful than an individual acting out of his conscience, thus helping to bring the collective conscience to life. That is what Norman Cousin said. And what does Albert Schweitzer has to say? Until man extends his circle of compassion to all living things, man will not find peace for himself. It is a man's sympathy with all creatures that first makes him truly a human being. Now, friends, I will go next to the most important topic, and that is the medical viewpoint. It's a fallacy, friends. It's a myth to say that we don't get enough protein from veg food, and that is why a man must have flesh food that is rich in protein. I'll come one by one to these myths. First of all, I will first give you examples of those strong animals, the elephant, the rhino. These are the strongest animals on this earth. Are they meat-eaters? No. They are pure veg. Even if they die, they will not eat meat. Even then, they are the strongest. Take example of horse. We talk about horse power. It's the most powerful creature useful for our purpose. And that is also a pure vegetarian. And take examples of cattle, cows, bullock and other animals. They are not only useful to us, but they are pure vegetarian. My point here is that those vegetarian animals are strong enough and they don't need any flesh food. In fact, if stupidly flesh food is given to these veg animals, what will happen? You all know about the mad cow disease, the syndrome called BSE. Friends, this BSE, bovine spongiform encephalopathy, you know what happened a few years back in England? It was a result of feeding rendered sheep byproducts to cattle as protein supplements. These sheep were infected with scrapie, an SE disease known for over 200 years. Now, if sheep food can make a cow mad, what do you expect the result on human beings? Millions of innocent cows were killed mercilessly just because they were suspected to be infected with BSE, and that too for no fault of theirs, but the stupid ways of feeding sheep protein on absolutely unnatural diet for a cow. So is the case with humans. Animal protein is not natural for us. Similarly, millions of chicks were destroyed in Eastern Asia countries because they were infected with certain diseases. Now, coming back to healthy diet, I will quote from one Dr. Dean Ornish, who has written a very learned book on how to reverse heart disease without surgery or drugs. And this book, my friends, is the best seller in America now. It has really created interest in the people of America and all over the world for that matter, that veg food is definitely better from medical point of view. He has given two types of diet, one reversal and one prevention of heart disease. Both are strictly veg diet because he has proved scientifically that veg food is the best food for a human being. It not only helps heart patients but also reduces risk of other degenerating and fatal diseases caused by flesh food, diseases like cancers of colon, cancers of breast, cancers of prostate, obesity, high blood pressure, stroke, diabetes, gallstones. The Surgeon General of America has confirmed this in the report on nutrition and health. He has given certain facts for protein. Friends, we'll have to be a little technical about it. The protein is formed from building blocks called amino acids. These are of million varieties, of which only three are critical for us: lysine, tryptophan, and methionine. All these are available in animals as well as veg, plant food. But when one consumes animal food for getting these three critical amino acids, one also consumes unnecessary elements like cholesterol, saturated fat. Friends, these are the two things that are the prime reason, the killer for human beings: cholesterol and saturated fat. Now let us address the issue that is universally put forward, that we do not get sufficient protein from vegetarian food, and so we have to turn to flesh food for adequate supply of amino acids. Now this is a fallacy. A combined meal of legumes and cereals. Legumes means dal, pulses, and cereals mean wheat, rice, etc. You have to combine these two and you get a complete balanced diet which provides complete protein, which is not different from protein found in eggs or meat, but without cholesterol and animal instincts. One dietic association has stated positive relationship between vegetable lifestyles and risk reduction for several chronic degenerative diseases as mentioned earlier. It has confirmed that veg diet is healthier and more nutritious. Plant food is totally free from cholesterol, which is only found, which is found in both. But cholesterol is only found in animal products such as meat, poultry, fish and dairy. Fresh food is also high in saturated fat, which our liver converts into cholesterol. Our body makes all the cholesterol we need. Now this is very important, friends. You must understand We need cholesterol, but we don't have to take cholesterol from animal food. Our body, it's a wonderful mechanism. The biochemistry, the chemical factory of our body can manufacture all proteins, all cholesterol from our own system. 3/4 of the cholesterol in our blood is made by our body. It is the excessive amount of cholesterol and saturated fat in the diet that lead to coronary heart disease. The other diseases, friends, which I have summarized from various journals, medical journals: epilepsy, infected flesh, kidney diseases, excessive protein, excessive uric acid. These are all the diseases because of the flesh food. Rheumatoid, arthritis, gout. This is the direct consequence of uric acid found in flesh food. Degeneration of intestine. Decay in immunity system. Dr. Deepak Chopra of America has stated that our body is capable of living for more than 100 years if we take proper care of it. Now look at the population in north, extreme north region, Eskimos. Now perforce, because no vegetation is available, they have to take flesh food. And the average life of an Eskimo is only 30 years. All non-veg food is devoid of vitamin C and vitamin A, which is naturally available in vegetables. Avidin in eggs and other dangerous bacteria are responsible for many skin diseases such as eczema, scabies, leprosy, etc. Now, I will give you a certain scientific fact. One medical study has proved that there are less heart diseases in veg people than flesh eaters. Second, it's a well-known fact that not only in India, but even in advanced countries, there is no foolproof system of medical exam of animals before slaughtering. Thus, diseases carried by them are passed on to the humans who eat flesh food. Friends, we all know that like human beings, the animals are also infected by diseases. And they are the carriers of the deadliest germs. And when these animals, they die and one eats dead flesh, that diseases which were infected and which were the part of the dead body of that animal is again inherited by us. 9% of food poisoning cases, 90% of food poisoning cases are in flesh food eaters. When an animal or bird is brought to a slaughterhouse, now this is a friend which is again, it needs some explanation. If you have visited a slaughterhouse or a poultry, you will know this. When the animals are brought to the slaughterhouse and when they know that they are going to be slaughtered, the pain, the agony, the anguish that runs in the system, it gives rise to adrenaline, the hormones, which mixes with the blood and into the flesh. Now these instincts of fear, anguish, anger, despair, all negative points are then becoming part of the flesh food and it passes on to the person who eats. And that is why, friends, I say that when one eats flesh food, he becomes more like animal and less like a human being. I will now turn to the fallacy that eggs are necessary for growing children because they contain protein. As I said, excessive protein is more harmful than useful. And the protein that we find in pulses, in cereals, is much more richer and natural than the protein, the excessive protein we find in animal food. Now I give you the example of egg. Each egg weighs about 100 grams and has 170 calories. It contains 13.6% of protein, as against that any dal or pulse will contain 24% of protein. Much more than that, of same weight, 100 grams. Egg will contain 13.3% saturated fat. While there is no saturated fat or very little of 1% in cereals and pulses. 450 to 500 milligram of cholesterol is contained in egg, one egg. Amino acid called methionine, which destroys vitamin D. Large quantity of sodium salt, All these are part of the egg. And when one eats egg, he is then infected. His body is infected because of this excess protein, cholesterol and saturated fat. It does not contain any carbohydrate. It does not contain any fiber. Friends, the medical science has now come forward and stated that for our digestion, we must have fiber. And fiber is found only in vegetable food and not in the flesh food at all. Now, cost-wise, I am only comparing the egg now. Cost-wise, for 1 gram of protein, the cost of egg is 4 to 5 times more than the pulses, wheat or soybean. Cost of 100 calories, it is almost 10 times the costlier than the pulses. Thus, pulses, wheat, etc. are not only cheaper, but they provide other important nutrients like vitamins, minerals, fiber, etc. Now, let's take a look at the poultry farming. Now, they call it poultry farming, it's a totally misnomer. I tell you, sir, it is a poultry factory. The way in which the birds are stored there, they have to climb upon one another to eat or drink because there is no sufficient space. Even the poultry people, they say that this is our factory and these are our merchandise. They are good. Nothing but our product. We are not concerned whether they are living beings or not. They are totally devoid of any compassion, any karuna, and that is why these things are also reflected in the birds. The birds are stored like commodities. They are fed unnatural food and administered drugs which are harmful for humans only to speed up their metabolism so that they can produce more eggs. The poultry people are only interested in making profit. And the result of this, they die premature death. It affects physical as well as mental health, intellectual and emotional growth. Egg is poison for children. Egg begin to rot immediately unless they are put in deep fridge. But when they are marketed, they are prone to decay and disease faster. Vegetable egg is again a myth. It's a fallacy. No egg can be a vegetable egg. It's an animal product and animal product only. It is definitely an animal product. It can never be called vegetable item. It's a misnomer. It's a deception. Friends, I will now turn to the economical aspect. Now, these also I have studied from various journals, medical science, and more important from the statistics department of the government of India and government of America, the UK government, etc. But I will not, that's why, give you the citations during my talk, but I will give you the summary. UK. The survey has stated the land required to produce the fodder to feed the animals to obtain fresh food is 14 times more than that required for vegetable diet to feed men directly. Because what happens? First you grow fodder. You feed it to the animals. And then you kill the animals for flesh food. And that is how you get your flesh food. But if the same land is used for agriculture, for pulses and cereals, that same piece of land can support many more families. And here only few families can be supported by using this land for pasture. I have been given one statistic. 10 square acres of land can support 10 heads of human beings or 10 heads of cattle for the whole year. But 10 heads of cattle for meat cannot support even one single person throughout the year. Natural grass or pasture can and grain crop both genetically belong to grass family. You see, once the crop is harvested, what we have is hashish or stalks. These are again the source of excellent source of biochemical fertilizer or manure. Look how many crores of rupees of our foreign exchange we are wasting on artificial fertilizer and chemical fertilizer, which we all know is extremely harmful to us. But because we are not able to get the natural manure which we can get from cattle and animals. We are destroying them, foolishly destroying them for our own food. But we are not considering the fact that the manure that these animals produce are much more economical, much more healthier and much more useful to our country. It's now well known fact that 16 kilograms of food grain are required to be fed to one animal for forming 1 kilogram of meat. Thus, by feeding animals reared for slaughter, the country is deprived of vital food grains which can feed many, many more people. So, not only for growing food, but also for pasture and for manure, we require land. The human oncogene work done by Professor Wilding from Massachusetts, it has stated that to obtain 1 calorie of animal flesh, 7 vegetable calories have to be spent. Then, the study further shows that the land needed to graze 1 average animal can sustain 5 average families. So, I will not burden you with facts and figures, but the summary of all this is that it is very economical to feed people on veg diet rather than on flesh food. Now, let's take the other point of view of economy, ecology, environment, slaughterhouses, etc. Production of animal flesh food require more land, more water, more food grains for feeding animals meant for slaughtering. Now, this will again destroy or rather disturb the balance of our ecology and environment. Because the resources are always limited, we have to make best use of it. Either we grow crops or we rare animals for slaughtering. And look at the way the slaughterhouses work, how they are maintained. It's simply a hygienic horror. The conditions are appalling and totally unsanitary all over the world. Yesterday only on internet I got a report from foreign countries, advanced countries of America and France, that the conditions of slaughterhouses there also, it is reported as totally unsanitary. I got a copy of white papers from a Government Accountability Project of America, fighting filth on the kill floor, a matter of life and death for America's families. Slaughtering of animals, meat processing plants, and finally most unhygienic ways of transport and sale of flesh food has made flesh food totally unfit for human consumption. And do not think for a moment that imported, packaged, nicely packaged meat or canned meat is totally hygienic. No, my dear friends, that is also coming from those slaughterhouses where all these things which I have stated of medical science will apply. Not only that, they add certain preservatives, certain chemicals, certain additives which will keep the meat fresh. Environmental consciousness in India and abroad has now driven many people to vegetarianism. Environment-friendly veg foods are now available. The craze now in all over the world is to go for environmental friendly veg food, because it is considered friendly and healthy. The green factories or glass houses are now exporting plant food, including fruit, to those countries which cannot grow them because of climate. The modern transportation system has given a much better alternative for food choice. In fact, for developing nations like India, government and NGOs should give more emphasis on larger production of more exports of plant food, which will solve the economic development of our country. Now look at the pollution. The pollution caused by legal and illegal slaughterhouses is terrific. The discharge of effluents from even so-called modern abattoirs is in the open and exposed to elements and public gaze. The carcasses of animals, the flow of blood, the horrible stench, etc. will add to the pollution. Ecological balance. Utility of animal world for human welfare cannot be overemphasized. Both are interdependent. Cows, sheep, fish, frogs, etc. are much more useful to us alive than dead. Then why should we kill our friends and our helpers to satisfy our taste buds? We should not be so much ungrateful, my friends, to our lesser beings, we call them animals or birds. Look at it from another point of view of natural manure. I have already stated that the animals produce much more natural and healthy manure than the artificial manure. Artificial chemicals manure cost us dearly. Now again, I'm coming back to our economic terms. If we are importing artificial chemicals for manure purposes, that is again a drain on our exchequer. Friends, I will now briefly give you historical and geographical views. I have already touched upon it. Historically, in certain dry areas of miles and miles of desert where no vegetable can ever grow, maybe only food was, survival was the animal food. Geographically, I stated as like Eskimos, there was no alternative. But once we have got this better alternative, which is healthier, which is more economical, which is more eco-friendly, why not go for such food? And friends, I will now go to the most important point, which will prove my point beyond any doubt that why man is vegetarian by nature. I've got some 16 points here to compare how our body is built up. As Mr. Trivedi has started the ball rolling in this fashion of bovine teeth and non-bovine teeth, teeth embed. Now I will first say about herbivorous. Teeth of herbivorous animals are embedded in the jaws, short, blunt, close to one another. While in carnivorous, they are sharp, pointed, long and conical. The two or four teeth that we have got, like some people say they are like dog animals, they are not for meat eating, but they are found also in apes and chimpanzees, and which are fit for plucking the fruits and eating the fruits. The claws, no sharp nails for herbivorous, they are fit to pluck fruits only, while in carnivorous, the sharp nails helps in tearing apart the prey easily. Jaws and chewing habits. Jaws of herbivorous will move up and down, left and right, that is in all directions, they swallow their food after chewing. While the carnivorous, the lower jaw moves upwards and downwards only. They swallow their food without mastication. Now friends, to go on comparing this, I will only say herbivorous and carnivorous. It is for you enlightened friends to see how our human body and parts of our human body will fit, whether it will fit with herbivorous animals or with carnivorous animals. Tongue. The tongue of herbivorous is quite smooth, while that of carnivorous is very rough. Water drinking habit. That's a very important thing. My friend Dr. Paresh Dalal told me. He said that these herbivorous animals, they drink water with lips, by suction. While all the carnivorous, they drink the water with tongue, they lap up. We don't do it. We always use our lips. Now, come to the length of intestine. Longer intestines are found in herbivorous, about 4 times the body length. This cannot quickly expel the flesh food. While in carnivorous, molar size of intestine almost equal to the body length and helps to expel flesh food before it gets contaminated. Liver and kidney. Smaller in proportion in herbivorous, so they are unable to throw out waste material easily. While in carnivorous, liver and kidney are longer in proportion, so they can throw out waste material easily. Digestive system. There is a less hydrochloric acid in digestive system of herbivorous, thus flesh cannot be digested easily, while obviously in carnivorous, the quantum of hydrochloric acid is much more, and that is why they can digest the flesh food. But human being cannot. Salvia. In herbivorous, like human being, the salvia is alkaline and contains ptyalin, which helps in digesting carbohydrates found in the grains. While in carnivorous, the salvia is always acidic. The blood pH is alkaline, like human being in herbivorous, and acidic in carnivorous. The blood lipoproteins. Human blood lipoproteins is similar to all herbivorous, while it is not similar to that of carnivorous. Sense is weak. All the senses, particularly the eyesight, is weak in herbivorous and very powerful in carnivorous sound. The voice is not the herbivorous sound, or even the human sound is not frightening, unless of course we can make it now frightening. But by nature, the sound of all herbivorous is mild, while that of carnivorous, like lions and tigers, is very coarse and frightening. And lastly, infants. Normal sight power of right from, now see the young ones of herbivorous, right from the moment of birth, they can see very clearly. While all the infants of carnivorous wild animals are blind at least for a week. Now friends, it is for you to justify whether men fit by nature in this category of herbivorous grain eaters or in the category of carnivorous the flesh eaters. Now friends, I will now tell you about certain great persons who condemned flesh food. Looking at the world's history, we find that all great scholars, philosophers, scientists like Einstein, artists like Leonardo da Vinci, poets like Milton, Pope, Shelley, and writers like George Bernard Shaw, and religious leaders, of course, of the world. Now, who are those people? The mathematician, the Pythagoras, the Plutarch, Newton and Einstein, the scientists, Dr. Annie Besant, Reverend Dr. Walter Walsh, George Bernard Shaw, Tolstoy, the Greek philosopher Socrates and Aristotle. They are all enlightened people, and they say, yes, sir. They say that blessed are those with noble qualities of tolerance and compassion, love and non-violence, who are not flesh eaters. Now friends, I will quote from George Bernard Shaw, which is very famous and widely published. "We are living graves of murdered beasts." Listen what he says. "We are living graves, moving graves of murdered beasts, slaughtered to satisfy our appetite. Like carrion crows, we live and feed on meat, regardless of the suffering and the pain." Doctors once advised Bernard Shaw. He was very ill. He said that you must take some meat soup. Bernard Shaw said, "I'll prefer death than to have anything with flesh food." And believe me, friends, he survived, and the doctor turned vegetarian. In the similar way, Mahatma Gandhi, his son was very sick. He was advised meat soup, and he refused, and the son survived. Why I am telling you, friends, all these things? That Mr. Trivedi said, yes, medically, whatever that doctor says, we have to accept, no doubt. But as I said in the very first thing, in the beginning I said, everything is relative. When doctor says something, he will say only from medical point of view. And friends, we are not living here. We are here on this earth, not only to survive. Survival is important, but not at the cost of others and inflict pain on others. Thank you very much, friends. 21st century will belong to vegetarians. Okay, I think I have made my point on very general terms, friends. I will tell you that I know those who are regularly flesh eaters are coming from some culture, some family, some faith, and that is why they have never applied their mind. And that is what Mr. Trivedi stated. That we are here today. We have gathered here. Let us apply our mind. That not only from religious angle or from our social angle. Because I have seen, I'm not afraid to say, that many of our Jain friends, when they go to certain gatherings, because they are afraid of the social status, they start eating meat. I don't like that. But then it is for everybody, whether he is a vegetarian or a non-vegetarian. Apply your mind. Try to see from all these angles whether it is permitted or prohibited from our own health point of view, from the national point of view, from the social point of view, from ecological, from environmental, and above all, from compassion point of view. Friends, when nature has created all animals, all humans, all creatures equal, nobody has got right to kill anybody just to satisfy his own palate. Thank you very much.